sort of town. When I originally had this idea, I thought people would like to talk to Tom, share with Tom, hear what he's got to say.
I love Tom.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mary Ann. I guess I could just start. I don't, I'm not physically in great shape right now, just this morning, but so bear with me. My brain's not working so well, but... you know, one of the things that Jeff, you know, asked me to come part, you know, I according to the doctors, I'm dying of pancreatic cancer, and that there's no cure. And one of the things that has occurred during my time when I was initially diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which is one of the worst diagnoses that anybody could get because it has such a high recurrence rate and it's so fatal with so many people. You know, I had a chance of being healed then with my surgery, and I had this I had battles with the devil for several days when I got first diagnosed, and there were battles about my own wretchedness and what my life had been and how I had not committed myself to Christ like I should have. And it was the devil that was telling me that I was not even worthy of prayer. And I believed it because I felt so so horrible about it. And it wasn't the sins of commission that were so that hurt me so much, but it was the sins of omission, because there were just such unending depths of things that, because of my own selfishness, I wasn't thinking of others and what I could do for other people. And I thought I had gotten myself in a good place when I first got diagnosed, and then when several months ago I went to Houston, I had a little spot in my liver and I knew that was not good, and I went back to Houston and where I had my surgery, and they said that the spot in my liver had grown and that and it was it had metastasized, it was now in my liver from the pancreas, and it was the exact same cancer. And what has happened to me is I pray so hard. And I've just gotten so close to our Lord and praying. And I pray like 2 hours every morning. And I pray all day long and I pray at night. And there's sometimes when this like little tiny glitter of light comes into me, this beautiful Sacred Heart of Jesus, where I just get this like beautiful, beautiful feeling all about me. And what the Lord has done is I have no fear of, he's given me this wonderful grace where I don't have any fear of anything. I have, and I'm talking about today, and I've said this before to people, I'm not so bold as to predict how I will be tomorrow. But I have no fear of death whatsoever. And I have no fear that I don't angst one bit about whether I'm going to die tomorrow, in a month, or in a year. As a matter of fact, I've never asked my doctors how long I have to live. What do they expect as my life expectancy? Because it doesn't matter. Because I'm going to live today the same as if it were my last day on earth. And it's living with like my beautiful family who's all here. And it's just, and it's all about, what I've found is it's all about giving up of everything of myself to Christ and let Christ fill me. And then when that happens, all I need is the grace of God and the love of God. And there's nothing else that we need. And it has given me such great peace. But what it's also given me is, a lot of people don't understand, as I see my cancer as in many ways a wonderful gift from God. And that, you know, I know it's hard for my family to hear that, but you know, I was going through life just like me, me, me. It's all about me. Life is about me. What could I do to satisfy myself? What could I do to please Tom? And or being, you know, just so selfish about everything. And and this new awakening that Christ has given me, that life is not about me, and that I could take, that He could take everything from me. You know, like my hair is going, my strength is going. If I become bedridden, if I become, you know, if it's a very painful death, it's all okay because Christ gave me everything, and so I give everything back to Him. And one thing that has occurred from this is this joy in my heart. I have just wonderful joy. And every day I have this beautiful joy. And of course, I think if you folks had a family like mine, you'd have wonderful joy too. but what, you know, life has become so simple for me because it's all about treasuring the moments of every single day. And there's so much holiness in every single day, in every different part of the day. And I find my days being so, except when I'm feeling really bad and I can't get out of bed, but even then praying, but I find just such grace and such beauty in every little thing. And so that's just kind of an, you know, I don't know why, there's so many things I could talk about, but that's kind of just an overview. A lot of people don't understand. It's like, okay, you're diagnosed with this terminal disease that the doctors say is going to kill you. It could be a couple months, it could be whatever, a year, whatever. Why are you so happy? And it's because it's okay. You know, it's because if you have Christ in your heart and the Holy Spirit, there's nothing to be worried about, you know? And it's just what we're doing here right now and the love that we have for one another and how we treat each other. I was going to write about this, but a little story about Tommy. He's like connected to my heart. You know how we have people connected to our hearts. And I was at the park with them in the wintertime, and we were the only ones at the park in the wintertime, believe it or not. Sometimes I think I'm the only grandpa that still goes down the slides and swings on the swings. But I'd done something where I was feeling very badly that I believed I hurt some people in my family, in my extended family. And I was just beating myself up about how I continue to fail, and we continue to fail. And and Tommy was in the swing and he was looking at me, and I was not really there. He just started crying because he could see, you know, the anguish in me, and he didn't know what it was about, but his heart was connected to me, and he just started crying. And so I took him out and I lifted him up and held him and said, "It's okay." And it got me to thinking that, you know, what we need to do is, we need to just, with each other, you know, just touch one another, you know, put a hand on somebody's hand, share a sacred tear with somebody, or a laugh, or just a comment, or just be with each other, you know, so that our hearts connect. And to be aware of other people, because when we are aware of others, like Tommy was of his grandpa, you know, then we're able to see more into their heart, and to not just be thinking, okay, well, what about me? It's thinking, what's going on in that heart that I might be able to help soothe. That's kind of just kind of my basic message is this. It took so long, and I've been committed myself to the church and to Christ for a long time. And once we say that, okay, well, you know, kind of like the evangelical view of we're saved, okay, so it's good, we're all good. It's like, no, the progression that we make by committing ourselves each and every day and each and every hour and each and every moment is a cleansing of our soul, a cleansing of our heart, where we pray that the sacred blood of Jesus just wash over our hearts to clean us. And I said this in my last email, but I pray for a healing that, you know, Christ said to the leper, if you will it, you can make him clean. And I pray that if the, you know, if Christ wants to, you know, if it's His will to clean me of my cancer, you know, I pray for that. But what I pray for more than anything is that my heart and my soul be cleansed. Because then, if I could get to that point and keep working towards that, as the old poet John Donne said, you know, death be not proud, because you have nothing over us with the glory of the cross and the glory of Jesus. Death is nothing. And that's why I think I have absolutely not. I've never, and this is just through the grace of God, I've never woken up in the middle of the night thinking, oh my God, I'm going to die. It's never happened to me. I've thought, oh my God, am I a sinful, wretched human being? That's happened many times. So, and it's just through this faith in Christ that I've gotten that. So, I think.
So, I think, is there any person here who doesn't remember Tom at the 4th of July? He would always have a little something, a little, you know, like this for you. You lived your faith in your relationship with all of us, and that's why we're all here, because we love you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you are kind of like my mother. My mother was rheumatoid arthritis, and she didn't call to be put on a pedestal or something, but people just looked at her and, you know, she was a witness. And you find yourself in a situation where you know, we're all going to die. There's not a person in this room that's not going to die. But you find yourself, I feel a certain, I wonder how you guys feel. I feel a certain reverence for just Tom. And as Marianne said, he's teaching us how to die.
And how to live.
How to live.
Well, and reverence for me is misplaced, because it's... you know, it's just like I pray all the time that the light of Christ could shine through me in some way, and that's the bad things are all me, the good things are all through Jesus, right? Is what the way I view it. So,
Tom, would you want to share your story about when you were on the floor with your three grandsons?
Oh, yeah, you know, I talked to, yeah, and I haven't mentioned this to my family, but I was. You know, one of my brothers asked about Christmas and said, boy, it must have been a really tough Christmas. And I said, no, it was the best Christmas that I ever had in my life. Because I was not worried about me not being there for any future Christmases. I was there with my family and sitting on the floor with the kids and just enjoying the moment and the beautiful celebration of the day. But I was sitting with Tommy and Henry and Theo,
grandkids,
my grandchildren, and they're all on the floor, and I'm sitting at them, and I suddenly got this feeling like I'm not leaving them. And then I looked at little Theo, and then I looked at Tommy and Henry, and I thought, I'm looking at eternity, that this is eternity right here. Which was like this wonderful, beautiful, soothing thing. It's kind of like Christ dying on the cross. You know, we don't relive the crucifixion, but in our Mass, we don't redo it. But what happened then transcends time. And so, you know, I just had this great feeling of eternity just looking at these little guys without. And so it just gave me this great peace that this wasn't something I was going to lose, because... you know, when my cancer came back, one of the most difficult things was I didn't think I could look at Tommy, you know, just because he almost died, and I had a premonition when he was almost dying that told me that I had my cancer, and I just got a connection with him, and I'm like, I don't know how I could be with them. But then I prayed, and then all of a sudden my soul gets lifted up, and Christ says, it's about right now, and you should not put your trust in me, and there's nothing to worry about. And Tommy came over, and it was beautiful. You know, so Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're just looking at those beautiful little faces. It's like, you know, it's eternity right there. They'll be there forever. And so will we if we commit ourselves to our Lord. And that's what I pray for my family and for all of us. So
I would find myself, I'm privileged to know Tom. And from time to time, we would have breakfast together. And I so treasured those breakfasts. He's an amazing person. And but I found myself fighting, you know, at some kind of a deep level, fighting against the injustice that may be occurring. You know, like, don't work anymore. Or, you know, just thoughts like this, you know. And so I would go to Tom, and we're close enough that I could share my thoughts, and he'd set me straight. He would break down the barriers of the walls, and I could see that it was my my own self that was projecting on him what I saw. But he would break down those barriers, and I'd walk away. I was the one consoled. Every time that I have been with Tom, especially since this has happened, anything that I could bring up to him, he turns around and I get consoled. So with that, I thought, this is absolutely amazing, and I felt that others might have an opportunity when I ask a question or say something or whatever. Fran, do you have anything you want to share?
Well, I just... really appreciate your muses, and I can't tell you how much they mean to me and what I'm getting out of them. Like, I'm studying them in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm being given this incredible
gift.
And I just
God
want you to know how much it means to me, and your words and the things that you're sharing. You said originally you started writing them because you wanted, if you could shed light and love into other people's lives,
mm-hmm.
that would be something that you want to do. And I just want you to know that you're doing that, you know, for me. And, you know, like, you're going through a transition right now, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going through a transition, a different kind of transition with my kids growing up, and, you know, there's lots of always in our lives. There's a lot of death and dying all the time, and
right.
saying goodbye to things, and I've been grieving a lot, and so trying to make sense of things, and
mm-hmm.
trying to feel like, okay, you know, and hopeful that
yes.
the next chance, there's more ahead that is as good as what was. And when you wrote your the first music I got from you about Christmas and your prayers
mm-hmm.
about how filled with grace you felt that you were being so present in the moment, and that
yeah.
you weren't being nostalgic about the past and letting that weigh you down, and you weren't worried about the future, but you were just here now.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that was incredible for me, because that's where I want to be right now.
Because you were feeling the loss of your children getting older.
Yeah, just a lot of things. A lot of things changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so change and transition, there's so much that goes with that, and adjusting to what is now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and celebrating that, you know,
yeah.
instead of, like you said, being nostalgic about what was, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was, I don't know, just a really good
call
gift.
From Los Angeles.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm glad.
So I guess I have a question about how do you have the courage to be so authentic about your faith and your connection and your love for Jesus?
Yeah, that was one of my biggest problems that I saw as a you know, as a Christian was my inability to evangelize, because as Catholics, you know, we never talked about our faith. You know, my father never talked about his faith with me. My mother, you know, it was always something we just kept to ourselves. And then with John Paul, St. John Paul II, you know, talking about the new evangelization, and I've just felt this great inability to do it because I didn't know how to do it and I didn't know what to say. And then when I got cancer, all of a sudden it was this great burden fallen from me, because it was, you know, on a very trite level, I was like, who's going to tell a guy with cancer not to talk about God, right? Or who's going to tell a guy he's dying not to talk about God? And it gave me, you know, it gave me this courage, you know? But then the more I got committed to it, the more I went, you know, I was telling me my kids and care about, you know, this trip to Lourdes. In many ways, it was a very, it was not anything that I expected, and there were graces I received that were not what I expected, and some very, you know, intimate things with our Lord that I'm still trying to work out. But I went with this guy, Father Nabil. And he's a priest from Lebanon, and he speaks French, and everywhere we went, he was just evangelizing to people. Mm-hmm. And it was not like this real in-depth stuff. It was like, oh, do you love Jesus? Or let me give you a miraculous medal. Or do you pray the rosary? You can get, Jesus loves you. You get, you know, and he was just so happy about it. But everybody he met, and people loved him. He just drew people into him. And so I guess that's a long way around saying, you know, when you're facing your mortality in very real terms, and you're losing, and you lose your fear, it's like, well, I don't care if somebody says, well, I don't want him to be talking about Jesus or God. And not that I don't care. I'm not afraid of criticisms of that, you know? And I can say nobody has told me to shut up. Maybe under their breath, but I'm out of here. So you know, God, just through this whole process, our Lord has given me so many graces that I think that's one of them, that I just lost all my inhibitions about that, because there is no doubt that that's what's given me the peace that I have and the joy that I have. And there's, you know, when I pray, sometimes when I get these just this feeling that is just like this tingling all over, just, it's a crazy feeling. I just have no doubt of the existence of God. There's no doubt. And there's no doubt in the divinity of our Lord Jesus. And with that, and with me giving everything to Christ and having no fear, then it is so much easier, because it's not about me, you know? So I don't know if that answers it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I love it.
So good. I've started writing some musings that I email to people. And I just set some people on there, you know, just because I was kind of, I went in it with some trepidation, you know, putting that kind of your faith on the line and your inner thoughts. But if anybody would like them, you could give me your email. Scotty's my IT guy.
Family discount?
Yeah.
Well, Tom, I have a question for you. Actually, yeah. It's kind of for your whole family. I so admire that you are so open to talking about what it's like, you know, when you're staring at death.
Mm-hmm.
When my dad died very young, he died at 46, and we all knew he was dying, but nobody ever talked about it, and nobody ever named, like, you're dying. And so we never had the chance to talk about, like, how do you want to die? How can we help you, like, live well?
Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, for your family unit, like, what has this been like for you guys to be able to talk about it, to name it, to say, this is what's happening, and here's how I want to live. Like, can you guys share about that?
Well, I could, I'll start, and if you guys want to say anything, but you know, like at my work, a lot of people get sick. I'm a judge, and a lot of people, or when people get sick, there's a hodgepodge. People want to keep things quiet. And my view is that death and illness and disease is part of life. And I never wanted to keep it a secret because it's part of our existence. And if I could share it with people and I could help people in any way through that, I thought that would be a good thing. And you know, at home, my death has been very, very open. And, you know, talking about my funeral and things like that. And I have seen, you know, when my cancer first came back, it was a very difficult thing. I could see the sadness in my family. But this process of continuing to live and to get joy in every moment and to have everything up front about it and death being up front and the prospect of me dying maybe in short time, I think has helped, and this is just me talking, but I've seen it, it's helped my family because I see great joy in my family now. You know, Carol is laughing a lot now. It's because of all these beautiful children we have around and the love that we have in our family. You know, Allison is like the most beautiful person. And she's just got something about her. And I see her laughing and being with the kids. And Thomas is such a beautiful heart. And they're always coming over to our house, and Scotty's been with us and staying, and I talk with Scotty a lot, and I just see joy within everybody, and I think part of it is through talking about it, through acknowledging it, because I never talked about it with my father, and I tell people, it's very hard for people to approach when what do you say about somebody who's dying? You know, what do you say to them? And simply, I don't know what to say is fine. Or, I'm sorry, or I love you. Anything like that. And then, you know, it can open up for somebody. And that's what I've, done with my kids. And care, you know, anything they want to talk about. Because I tell people there's no subject that's off limits for me. I'm not uncomfortable talking about dying. I'm not uncomfortable talking about suffering. They say pancreatic cancer could be one of the most painful deaths of cancer. I'm not afraid to talk about that, or I'm not afraid to talk about life, you know, and life, the joy of life. I'm not like, oh, no, it's all over. Ooh, it's like the joy of life today, seeing you beautiful people, you know. Look at this. I mean, good Lord in heaven. So, do you guys want to say anything about that? Our Scotty or Thomas?
I would say just having someone who is open about it has really helped me. And it's probably harder. I think it's harder on like my other siblings than it is for me. But like you said earlier, Dad. You know, nothing ever really dies, and, you know, even when someone's gone, like my grandparents passed away, I remember when my grandpa said, and I don't know what he meant by this, but the way I took it, he said that, you know, Scotty will always be here, and that's the truth, is that, you know, no one ever really goes away, and like when my dad was sitting on the floor with the grandkids and thought of eternity, that's something that will always be here, is the love that we have for each other and, you know, the desire to connect with each other.
Yeah, it tells you what family's all about, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Tells me what family's all about.
I'm so very grateful to have a dad that is open about faith, because faith is something that's, you know, it's valuable. It's more valuable than anything to have faith in yourself, and to have faith in the goodness of life. And
No.
And faith that there's something that's beyond all of us that is something that's beyond all of us that is giving us these things, the opportunity to learn, like, being sick and dying is, me and my dad talked about it. It's not a curse, it's a blessing. And it's just lessons that we have to learn along the way.
Oh, thanks, Daddy.
No.
Any of the other family members want to share anything?
What I get from the poems?
No,
you were still listening.
When I first found out about my dad, when he had his cancer back, I didn't think I could go on with life without him. But I realized the one good thing that's come from it is, like, people aren't always be like, I'm too busy with work or too tired from work or too busy with COD parents every day, but I'd say almost every day since we found out we've been together as a family. It just makes you realize how important family is and how lucky I am to have such a wonderful family. I'm gonna feel okay now about it.
I consider myself and my family fortunate that it's not gonna be a sudden death. We have time to celebrate his life and be with each other and, turn a terrible thing into a beautiful celebration of life that, a lot of people lose someone suddenly. And we have time to say goodbye.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And to know what family is, I mean, that is the essence of family, to express your love and to be there while you can. Did you have something, Carol, did I hear you say you wanted to say something?
Oh, no, I just said that I don't think I can talk right now.
Oh, okay.
Danny wanted to say something.
Yes, mm-hmm. Danny.
Tom, a few things. I mean, growing up, you've amazed me, like when you first sang that rowing song for Walleyes. I didn't know you even played guitar and sang. Two things that I get from you now that I think are really amazing is how sacred the moment is, and not the death, but the moment is really sacred. And another thing, too, is how your faith and your gratefulness replaced fear. Mm-hmm. And how I could see that your gratefulness just cast fear right out the window.
Yeah.
And those are really amazing things. Mm-hmm. And that I got from you, it's truly amazing.
Oh.
And I'm grateful that I'm with you here now, because I learned.
Well, that's that. Thank you, Dan. If that light could shine through me to you, that's wonderful. One of the things that helped me tremendously, I never had this woe is me feeling, but one of the things that helped me tremendously was being so thankful for everything. People would come up to me and say, oh my gosh, Tom, when they found out I had pancreas cancer, life is not fair. And I would say, you know what, life is not fair. You are absolutely right. How is it that the good Lord has given me the most wonderful gifts that any human being could ever have? Life's not fair, because everyone didn't get these beautiful gifts. And when you're thankful for everything, instead of like what you don't have, be thankful for what God has given you, then it's, it's what you're talking about, to live in the moment. And, kind of what you were talking about the loss too, is, when we love, the more we love, the more we risk the loss, and the more we risk the death of that love. And it can be very, very scary. But what's the trade-off? To just not have that love? No, it's a great risk in life to love people unconditionally and to commit yourselves unconditionally because of that threat of loss. But you pray and for the graces, and then Christ can transform you each different part of your life, and there will be new graces and new beauty that's going to come to your life, with your children. You know, even, I mean, we went through that with our kids leaving. It was a very difficult thing. But then, you know, just, you know, you pray and all of a sudden you get these new beautiful gifts. And then it's, you know, then it's wonderful. Yeah.
What I have found with you, Tom, is that I thought I knew you,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know the half of you until this happened. Because I see a man in his prime, a mind that is so powerful, that can figure things out. You have a beautiful mind. You don't get straight A's in law school without having a beautiful mind. And then sitting on the bench as a judge and everything. So if you could have a muscular mind, man, you got the big muscular mind. Why your head is so big?
Yeah.
And it just grew an inch.
No, I would see that. Has anybody else seen this another side of Tom that I haven't seen before?
He puts things so simply. I can understand you. I know you're way up here in intelligence, but you put things you put things in a beautiful way that we can understand, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a truly amazing gift to just be able to put it in simple terms and get across the big point. I'm really amazed. And so I wasn't afraid at all my experience with him talking about all these things was like, wow, this is so mind-opening that I thought everybody would want to do it. And so here we are.
I don't know what, this might not mean anything other than it's a very sweet memory for me, but
mm-hmm.
For some reason, as I've been thinking about you and your whole family, I keep remembering the first time I met you, Carol. And you guys came to the barn, you had gotten married, you came to the barn in Trout Valley, remember there was a big party.
Oh, yeah.
And that moment has always stuck with me, like the first time I met you. And you guys were like solid, even as a very young couple, like you just were solid together. And it's been really fun to watch, like how your family has grown over the years. And Carol, you have become, like, it is... been like beautiful to watch you like evolve, and you're amazing. And like, I want to say like you're so strong, but I also want to say you're so like vulnerable too.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
So
yeah.
Beautiful to see.
It's really yeah. So it's very difficult. Very. And actually, what really makes me cry is just this outpouring, like for all of you to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow that makes me cry. Otherwise, you know, I'm okay. But when I see all these people here now,
mm-hmm.
it's wonderful. It's just overwhelming for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to thank you all for coming.
You make a great point, Marion, because your family is centered here. You know, maybe Carol will buy another house. Maybe the family will come together and be in that house. You have your mother. And then I think about you, Fran, and her friend, how you talked about how your father's role changed when your mother died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he became the soft one, so Carol's going to become the tough one.
I think
you don't need any training in that, huh?
Yeah,
yeah. It's hard, but...
This is so difficult for me. There's just... The ups and downs are so... It's just so hard. And I don't know how to... how to be the right spouse and mother and grandmother. I have no idea how to... what's the right thing to do or say or anything.
Oh, but she's been so beautiful. I told you that this morning. Just, you know, just the beauty of our family is just, Carol's like been so sweet to me, and I just love her so much. And, you know, I start crying all the time, too, and it's always about just the love that's so overwhelming. And,
yeah.
And the grandkids just love her so much, and love, and it's just the family is just, we've gotten so close with just being together all the time and just sharing each other that, and that's the lesson. It's like, why wait for somebody to die?
Yeah.
Share it now, you know, and really contemplate.
Really,
it's so easy.
That's really the lesson.
Yeah.
That's the best lesson, the family lesson. When Marianne and I came at Christmas time, I told you I was looking forward to coming for so long. We got invited to it was a birthday party. It was the birthday party.
Yeah.
And just to be there with your family, you've done a fabulous, your family, you got a great family.
Oh,
you have a wonderful family.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful family.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I want to be part of the family. I want to be connected with every person in this room because that's what we have to offer to each other, you know?
Yeah.
And family is so underrated today. And it's so overrated in your situation. What a blessing. What a beacon of light that is. Nobody can take that away from you.
No. Yeah, beautiful thing.
How about any of our Facebook, Steve?
Yeah, I just want to say, Tom, one of the things that I personally struggle with is transparency. You know, you talk about the vulnerability of loving, the loss of love, and it's the same with transparency. Now, there's a risk. You're just putting yourself out there, and you're walking the most difficult part of anybody's life, and the fact that you're sharing it, not only with your immediate family, but with us, I'm just watching the fruits of that transparency. I mean, with your kids, the opportunity to spend whatever time is left, and every moment is just so rich because you created that fertile ground of transparency that no question is out of bounds, no feelings, no anything can be discussed. It's an amazing opportunity that I feel honored that you're sharing it with me, and it's an amazing gift, Tom.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that vulnerability is a hard thing, but we're all vulnerable. We put up these shields, pretending that we're, these big, powerful, in control, and we're not in control, and this vulnerability is all part of, giving up of ourselves, and when we're vulnerable with one another, that could be beautiful, it could be beautiful moments showing our vulnerabilities. Like Kara's just talking,
Do any of our FaceTime people have any questions?
Kate, can you hear me? Is there anything that you want to say? Speak up if you do. This is Facebook time.
How about Lori? Do you have anything, Lori, you want to ask or say?
I just want to say, yeah,
I think
we're so lucky. We lost Mike from a brain aneurysm. So it was sudden. We had absolutely no idea that he was going to be gone. And I think that what a blessing it is to be able to be with each other and know. Mm-hmm. Because we were all just stunned. And everything, I'll tell you, Carol, everything's going to be okay. And really, you get through all this.
Yeah.
And my life is good. I have wonderful children and wonderful grandchildren. We're all very close, but I'm extremely blessed. And you are too. And life goes on. But Tommy, you've always been here. I've always adored you since you were a little boy. And I'm so proud of you. I mean, I checked your grades all through law school. And watched you go. And so fly and do all these wonderful things. And from my perspective, it's wonderful to see all of you. So I've known most of you since you were little kids. So many of you, let's put it that way. And anyway, my love to all of you, and you are all very blessed.
Thanks, Lori.
Thanks, Lori.
Thanks, Lori. Those were very insightful. Yeah. Thanks, Lori.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Tom, what's it been like for you with your siblings?
I guess, yeah, I think it's been hard on my siblings, you know. And one of them said it's, you know, a lot harder to lose. I think it's going to be a lot harder to lose a sibling than it will be a parent, you know, because of the connection. You know, those who've lost a sibling know that. So some are more open with me than others. Others are very uncomfortable, you know, which is okay, you know. Let them come to me as they want. I think I've given the message, you know, that I'm open to anybody that wants to come to me, you know. People have this feeling that they don't want to intrude sometimes, but no, it's been good with my siblings. A couple of them I've talked with at length about things, you know, important things. You know, talk what Lori said, you know, about, and I've thought of this many times, is the gift of being able to contemplate my death is a wonderful, wonderful gift. You know, people that say, I wish I could just die in my sleep or whatever, of a heart attack in my sleep, it's like, no, I don't want that. Good Lord, it'd be some bad time in purgatory.
Give me a warning.
Yeah. So it's been different with my siblings, and some it's been much easier than others. But I think that's with their own comfort level of it, you know. With my own family, just with us being together all the time, and you know, just you know, that's just been a lot easier, you know, talking. And it's also, I also think this, you know, and this is something I have to remember too, is that, you know, this is a lot easier for me than it is for my family. You know, people think, well, you're the one dying. It's like, no, it's not. I used to have this separation anxiety, but I don't fear the loss, because if the good Lord graces me with being in his presence, I'm going to be in their presence. There's no doubt about it. I'll be able to pray for them and be with them. They're the ones that will be separated from me. So I got to remember that too, because if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But could I say, I just want to say to the family, like, one of the big surprises for me when my mom and dad died,
mm-hmm.
And it was really a surprise because it wasn't what I was expecting, but they never really left me. And that is the mystical part.
Yes.
They never really leave. Yeah. You're going to see. He's going to be with you all the time. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is the mystery and the mystical part.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so tickled by that. I had no idea that that's what it would be like.
Hi, Daddy.
And they are with me, like, you wouldn't believe, like, there's just times where the other day something happened and I felt my dad's presence, and I had this huge grace.
Oh.
And I went from really being upset about something to just feeling deep inner peace. And that was him.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
And so there, it's not like weird stuff, like I see him in the middle of the night or anything, nothing like that. It's just the spirit. It's the spirit. And really, I truly believe that we're all spirits. And, you know, we're not humans with bodies. We're spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's very easy to feel that the call goes on.
Yeah.
That there is really no call to it. You know, we came from somewhere, and we're returning home to that place. And And so I just want to, that's the coolest thing. They're still with me. And they always will be. There's nowhere for them to go.
Yeah. And you lost your parents when they were very young, so you've missed your parents quite a bit. And just wondered if you could share, if there's anything you wanted to share.
Well, since my parents died, like friends, unexpectedly, and at a fairly young age, for me, and especially for Pat, we never had this type of discourse. It was like, here today and gone. I was in Europe when my mom died. I didn't know she was that sick. She had lung cancer, I knew that, but it'll be fine, and I get a call, like, come home, we've been looking for you for 2 days, you've been staying in some hospitals, we couldn't find you. This is, poor internet and cell phones, and I didn't even know she died. I've never gone to Europe, had I, whatever. So it was a different situation entirely, and, I got some two younger kids, whatever, 10 and 12, 10 and 14, but I'm getting older, I got some friends that are getting sick and have gotten sick, and I said, geez, I don't want that, what happened to me, to have to do my opinion. So you have to learn. Mm-hmm. I already have a lot. So thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know about anybody else, but I just want to hug everybody too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I call first. Well, okay then, folks, I think we'll wrap it up, hey? And it's all the Holy Spirit to bless Tom, bless his family. In the name of Jesus, we ask for this blessing. Amen.
Amen. Amen.